There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. Step by step,
day by day,
day by day, I'm on the round to recovery, trusting God along the way, trusting God along the way, trusting God all the way.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night Meet Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. I'm a recovery alcoholic. My name is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Awesome. So let's get started. Can everybody follow along with the foglight prayer? If you don't know it, there should be little cards in the seats in front of you, or we have this big sign up here. God, let your love shine through me like a foglight, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. There is the solution. From the Big Book, page 17, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked John to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. So bring up John.
Hey guys, I'm John. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which,
upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than ourselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that an alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot keep to fail in a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Thanks, guys.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode, or just turn them off. And tonight, we have Tom here for his third step. I don't really know Tom very well. What I know of him is what I've heard him say in the last two times that he's spoken. And I don't know, every time I hear him speak, he kind of lights a fire in me, so I'm really looking forward to tonight. And tonight he's going to be doing step three. And from what I've learned, he seems like he was a pretty willful guy. So I'm curious to see how he gave that over to God. So with that, I'll bring up Tom.
Got to put my hat on, okay? You know, this light is just... Whoo! How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
My name's Tom, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tom.
And that's a perfect description of me, a willful guy. You know? What happened? What happened to that guy? Well, I'll tell you what happened. He reached down through the darkness. He pulled me up out of the muck and the mire. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He being my God. The muck and the mire being the alcoholism and the drug addiction. The rock, the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And my goings, the steps of AA. That's what happened to this willful guy. So there were things that had to happen. You know, in the first 2 weeks, we talked about the things that had happened. people who weren't here the first 2 weeks, it's pretty easy to understand what happened to me, because the reason you're probably here is it's happening to you, or it has happened to you. And that's basically, you know, what I come to Alcoholics Anonymous to talk about, is what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And what it was like was, it was just hell. Hell on earth, okay? And it was all caused by me. The biggest thing that I had to do was take responsibility for my alcoholism. I didn't want to take responsibility for my alcoholism. I wanted my alcoholism to be the responsibility of everything else and everybody else. And most of all, I wanted to blame God for my alcoholism. Because after all, it was God who made me, wasn't it? So it was God who screwed me over. And it was God who I had a huge resentment against. I built a big resentment towards God. So I wanted to believe when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous that my only problem was alcohol. That all I had to do was just not drink. And I didn't have any problem. Just don't drink and don't shoot any dope. You don't have no problem. Case closed. And I didn't need the rest of this. I didn't need the steps, and I didn't need the prayers, and I didn't need the book, and I didn't need the sponsor. And I used to say, well, maybe the other people in AA need that, but I don't need that. I know what I need. I just need to get what I want. Because if I could just get what I want, you know, then this would be a wonderful world. That's all. You know, but you know, it didn't work too well. Because I never did get what I wanted. You know, and every time I would come into rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and not get things my way, it built my resentment towards God. Because I would sit around in the rooms of AA and I would say to myself, you know, well, this God stuff's a bunch of baloney. Because, you know, things ain't happening for me the right way. So why am I doing this? See? Why am I doing this? Because, you know, obviously what these people got to say in AA is wrong. It don't work for me. And so I would leave, you know. And then besides, you know, by now I had pretty much gotten out of the problem that I was in. Because that's really the reason why I came to Alcoholics Anonymous anyway, was just to get out of the current problem that I was in. To get some money back, you know, to get a job back, to get a girlfriend back, you know, to get my girlfriend off my back. Get my folks off my back. Get the judge off my back. Get my license back. Get a car back. Get a place to live back. So you see, the only reason I came to Alcoholics Anonymous was just to get back. Get back to what I was doing before. This was just a stopover, okay? A resting place. The old timers used to call it three hots and a cot. I was good at that. And the problem was me. I'm the problem. I used to have an old friend in my home group named Chubby. He's been dead several years now. Never got sober until he was 57. And stayed sober the last 26 years of his life. You know, died sober. He used to say, my name's Chubby, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the problem. And that's who the problem is here. The problem is me. The problem is not you. The problem is not drugs and alcohol. I use drugs and alcohol as my solution for the problem. But the problem was me. I had the problem way before I ever picked up a drink or a drug. When I picked up a drink at 13, that's when I found the solution to the problem of me. And I tried to use those drugs and those alcohol, you know, and they just kicked my ass. And the progression of alcoholism kicked my ass. And the pain of my alcoholism is what drove me to my knees. It was what made me finally surrender. It's when it finally came to me that not only am I powerless over alcohol and drugs, when I start to take them into my body, I can't stop. I'm not going to stop. But that my life is unmanageable, which means my thinking doesn't work. My way doesn't work. It doesn't work because I have a disease that's powered by my own mind. It's a mind-powered disease. And it talks to me. It's a talking disease. It talks to me and it tells me that I know how to run my life. Not only do I know how to run my life, I know how to run your life too. And I know the way life ought to run. And if I could just have life my way, everything would be wonderful. So what happened, you know, was I finally came to the place that I believed in this honesty over me. Self-honesty. To thine own self be true. That's the first step. I got to have it 100%. 100% belief that not only am I powerless over alcohol, but that my life is unmanageable. I cannot count on my own thinking. My thinking doesn't work. Even after 33 years of not having a drink or a drug, because I still have alcoholism. I don't have alcoholism. It ain't a wasm. It's an ism. And I wake up every day with untreated alcoholism. I have to treat my alcoholism. Because yesterday's booze is not getting me drunk today. And yesterday's sobriety is not keeping me sober today. I have to ask myself, what am I going to do today to stay sober? You know, and as I talked about in the past two meetings, how I had to finally come to believe, first of all, that I had an insanity, that I was insane. And the reason that I was insane was because I believed I knew how to run my life. But I didn't know how to run my life. But I believed that I could, and that's why I'm insane. This insanity of believing that I know how to run my own life is what the problem is. This insanity of thinking that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness from this life if I just manage well is what I think the solution is. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we like to talk about the problem first. So then we can talk about the solution. I got to know what the problem is. The problem's me. The problem is I have this problem of power. This problem of power over alcoholism. Lack of power was my dilemma. Because I'm not a power greater than my alcoholism. I wanted more than anything else to be a power greater than my alcoholism. I wanted to control my alcoholism. I want to control everything. That's my problem. I think that if I control, I'm happy. So the problem here is a problem of control. Control over my alcoholism, which could not be controlled. So because I could not be a power greater than my alcoholism, I had to have a power greater than it. So I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself would restore me to sanity. And this is not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing thing. These steps are meant to be put into application. I would do a disservice to you by standing up here and talking to you about how you work the steps. Like somehow, you're going to get a report card and graduate.
In here, we don't got no report cards. And you ain't graduating. That's what my sponsor told me. He said, take it easy. Have a nice, slow recovery, okay? Because you ain't going nowhere. If you think that you're going to get to the 12th step and it's over with, and we're going to give you a gold star, and you can just move on, you're wrong. That's not the way this works. See, I stand up here and I talk from experience. This ain't my opinion. I don't come here to talk about my opinion. I got plenty of opinions. But I don't come here to talk about that. Because that's not what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was taught a long time ago that I go to Alcoholics Anonymous to share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's what I come to listen to. Because that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. It's a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope, not their opinions and ideas. So I speak. My good friend Russell Spatz, he likes to talk about how he's been road testing this thing for 35 years. Yeah. And he has. And I've been road testing this thing for 33 years. So I got some experience. And I spent the first 10 years, I come here 43 years ago at 21, now I'm 64, and spent the first 10 years just hanging around. I wasn't ever in AA, I was just hanging around AA. Because the people that are in AA, they're the people that are doing the deal. They're not the people that are just taking up a seat in a chair, thinking that somehow you're going to get this by osmosis. Believe me, the meetings are necessary, but they won't get you sober. My wife, who I met in AA 28 years ago, she has a favorite saying of hers. She says, you know, you can park a Chevy in the garage for 20 years and it'll never turn into a Cadillac. And you can park your ass in these rooms for 20 years and never get sober either. Believe me, dry drunks, sometimes I think they're worse than wet ones. I had a brother-in-law. I'll tell you that story sometime. So I had to get honest with myself. These three steps are the foundation. This is the rock, okay? This is the foundation. These three steps are the foundation of my program. I got to have the first step 100%. If I got that first step 100%, if I'm honest with myself, I know that I'm not a power greater than my alcoholism. So I got to have a power greater than it. I don't know. But it's got to be something. Like I talked about last week, even atheists in AA might take God out of these steps, but they replace it with spiritual principles. You go to the atheist AA meeting, and they believe in spiritual principles. That's their higher power. They may tell you they don't believe in God, but they believe in spiritual principles. I happen to be a God believer. I'm a God man. That's because a man put my hand in God's hand. I shared that experience last week. How I didn't believe. How I didn't believe. And him asking me, how'd your way been working, wise guy? After 10 years of being around, never staying sober, never getting sober, never getting a year, never getting that 1 year medallion. How'd your way work? Didn't work. Then I guess it don't make any difference what you believe in then, does it? That's what he told me. I couldn't argue anymore. The argument was gone out of me. The lash of alcoholism had taken the argument out of me. I no longer could argue that point anymore. I was done with that argument. I believed 100% in the first step. I believe 100% in the first step right now. All the time. Not just when I first got here, but all the time. Every day. Every minute of the day. In my heart, I know that I'm powerless over alcohol. And my life is unmanageable. But not unmanaged. It's managed by a power greater than me through this program. That's how I manage my life. That's how I've managed to put 33 years together, a day at a time. One day at a time. I didn't do it a year at a time. I didn't do it a month at a time. I did it a day at a time. Because that's the only thing I can do anything about. I can't do nothing about yesterday. It's gone. I can't do nothing about tomorrow. It ain't here yet. The only thing I can do anything about is the time that I'm in right now. So right now is when I need to be in the first step. Need to be in the first step all the time. Got to be honest. This is the how. How it works. You know how it works? H-O-W. First step, honesty. Second step, open-mindedness. Had to become open-minded. Open-minded to the fact, you know, that my way hadn't worked. And I was going to do something that somebody suggested. And I found out that it worked, and I came to believe. I found out it worked when the obsession had been taken from me. I saw that my God loved me, that he wanted to help me, that he'd done that for me just because I'd asked him for it. And I didn't even believe it. Didn't believe that he would do it. Showed me his power. Showed me how powerful he was when he took it from me, and I didn't even know that it was gone. And I don't know how long it had been since I'd even thought about a drink or a drug. The obsession was taken from me. The obsession's never come back all these years. Why? Because I haven't stopped doing what I did in the beginning. This morning, where'd you find me? On my knees, asking God for the strength to stay clean and sober. Why should I stop doing something that works? Unless I don't want it to work. I won't do it if I don't want it to work. You know what? I've never, in all the years that I've been sober, have never heard anybody tell me that they went out after they got down on their knees and asked God for the strength to stay clean and sober. Oh, no. Every story I've heard, they'd stop praying. They'd stopped asking God for that help. They stopped being honest. They stopped being open-minded. And they had no willingness. And that's what the third step's all about. It's all about what the 12 and 12 likes to call the key of willingness. So when we read how it works, we all hear how it works. We hear how it works at every meeting. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And that God could and would if he were sought. The next two words in the big book are two of the most important words there are. They are being convinced. If you're not convinced, what are you doing here? Trying to get convinced? When are you going to get convinced? What's the 12 and 12 say about being convinced? So how exactly can the willing person continue to turn his will and his life over to the higher power? He made a beginning, we have seen, when he commenced to rely upon AA for the solution of his alcohol problem. By now, though, the chances are that he has become convinced that he has more problems than alcohol. And that some of these refuse to be solved by all the sheer personal determination and courage he can muster. They simply will not budge. They make him desperately unhappy and threaten his newfound sobriety. Our friend is still victimized by remorse and guilt when he thinks of yesterday. Bitterness still overpowers him when he broods upon those he still envies or hates. His financial insecurities worry him sick. And panic takes over when he thinks of all the bridges to safety that alcohol burned behind him. And how shall he ever straighten out that awful jam that cost him the affection of his family and separated him from them? His lone courage and unaided will cannot do it. Surely he must now depend upon somebody or something else. And I don't apologize to anybody for my complete and total dependence in a power greater than me. I have no dependency upon alcohol or drugs or people, places, and things. I had a mentor when we get to the 11th step that I'll talk more about who's long dead. He was an old man when I was a young man. He'd been in AA for years. He started the first treatment program in Chicago. He was a great guy. His name was Ed Herney. He was the total opposite of me. He was a very quiet man. He was quiet. He was church going. He was Irish Catholic like me. He was an old man, retired. He would get up every morning, go to Mass, you know, come to the noon meeting at Central House when we were in the American Legion back in those days in the 80s. Go home, take a nap, go to Denny's, have some coffee, go home, have dinner, go to bed probably about 9 o'clock. He was quiet. And it got to be this mantra. You know, AA is good for getting mantras going. You know, constantly chanting stuff over and over all the time. So every time, you know, in meetings it started to disintegrate into discussion meetings, like they were group therapy or something, instead of an AA meeting where we talked about the solution. We have to let everybody talk about their problems now all of a sudden. You know, somebody stole my cookies. And it became like a mantra and a pet answer in Alcoholics Anonymous every time somebody had these problems, for somebody in the meeting to raise their hand and say, "Well, you know, you're powerless. You're powerless. You're powerless over people, places, and things. That's the problem. You're powerless." And Ed was a very quiet man, but one day he flipped. He flipped in the noon meeting, and there was a big book sitting there. And he took his hand and he slammed it down on that big book. And he said, "Show me in that book where it says that your problem is that you're powerless over people, places, and things. Because that's not what this book says. What this book says is your problem is you want power over people, places, and things. That's what your problem is. Not that you're powerless over them, but you want power over them. You think if you can have power over people, places, and things, then your dependency upon them will fix you. Our problem is a problem of over-dependence. We're dependent on everything and everybody for our emotional and financial security for this life. This is what we're talking about. This is what the problem is. This is what the big book says. Being convinced, we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. You see, just do what I want. If you just do what I want, don't you understand? You'll be happy. Do what I want you to do. You'll be happy. I need you to be happy so I can be happy. Because if you're not happy, I can't be happy. What do you call that? We call it dependency. You call it codependency if you want. It ain't nothing more than addiction to a person. That's all it is. It's just more addiction. You're addicted to somehow, some way somebody else feels. You know what I had to learn? I had to learn I'm responsible for my own feelings. Nobody's responsible for the way I feel. I am. And I'm not responsible for the way you feel. You are. You know what I'm responsible for? I'm responsible to do the right thing. That's what I'm responsible for. But I never did the right thing. I never did the right thing because I was too busy being controlling and manipulating, rationalizing and justifying to soothe my conscience and minimize my guilt. There's a reason for guilt. God gave me guilt for a reason. There's no reason for shame. To shame myself. There's a big difference between shame and guilt. I don't believe in shaming people. People do a good enough job of shaming themselves. They don't need to be beat up. They do a good enough job of beating themselves up. People need to be loved. But I didn't know how to love. I didn't know the first thing about love. I never had an unconditional love bone in my body. I never did nothing for nobody unless there was something in it for me. Oh, we're going to talk a lot about that if you hang around me. Because this is what the problem is. The problem is me. The problem is me, and the solution is all here. The solution is in the steps. That's where the solution is. This is what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, of how you get well from this shit, okay? Because, you see, I wasn't a bad guy who was trying to get good. I was a sick guy who needed to get well. And this alcoholism is a sickness. It's a sickness. It's a mind-powered sickness. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, whatever will work. Even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. Whatever works. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. What usually happens? Well, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. God's not giving me what he's supposed to give me. What kind of God did I have? I had a Santa Claus God. That was my God. I thought God was supposed to be like Santa Claus. Okay? Why did I think God was supposed to be like Santa Claus? Because I had a punishing God. I believed in a punishing God. Why did I get a resentment towards God? Because he was punishing me. So that God had to go. I had to get rid of that punishing God. That punishing God wasn't helping me. I had to get the God that I came to know, the God that took the obsession from me to drink and to use. He's my Father. And he loves me. Just exactly the way I am. Doesn't matter what I've done or what I do. He don't never stop loving me. He doesn't judge me like I judge you. But I judged him like I would judge another human being. I had no understanding. No understanding that the love of God had for me was unconditional. because I had no understanding of unconditional love. Everything in my life was conditional. Still, the play doesn't suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind? My mentor who put my hand in God's hand, he used to say all the time, you know, when we do something wrong, we don't want nobody to know about it. But when we do something good, we want to tell the whole world about it. He said, tell me, why don't you try doing something good and don't tell anybody about it? Why don't you try that? Maybe it's good practice. Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? It's one of my favorite lines. I constantly repeat it all the time. I repeat it in my own mind. You know why? Because I have to talk back to my alcoholism. Because my alcoholism still talks to me. Oh, it's not as loud as it once was, believe me. And it doesn't run my life. I run it by this program with the help of my higher power. So as soon as I get that thought, you know, my first thought is always the alcoholic thought. I always have the alcoholic thought. But, you know, I learned a long time ago what this is about is practice. Practice, 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 practice. I learned it from this man who used to pound on the table like that. And he used to say in the meeting real loud, I practice, 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 practice my program. Practice makes the master. A master only becomes a master by practicing every day. And he only remains one by practicing every day. That's how we master this way of life, is through the practice of it, through the practice of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, through the practice of the principles of the program of alcoholics. How many times have you heard that? What are the principles? You think the principles are a bunch of hokey words that are written up on the wall somewhere? No, that's what we're going to be talking about. The 12 steps are the principles. They're a way of life, meant to be put into application on a daily basis. All of them. All of them. Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness from this world if he only managed well? Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the show? Is he not even in his best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Our actor is self-centered. Everything is about self. This whole problem is me. I'm the problem. So the problem is self. And guess what? Self can't help self to get out of self. This doesn't work. That's why I never was successful on my own at controlling my alcoholism. Because self cannot help self to get out of self. It is very hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. Told me that a long time ago, and I said, what? What's that supposed to mean? It means that I live in denial, and I ain't talking about that river in Egypt. Okay, you heard that one before, right? That's part of this disease. Delusion. I live in a delusion world. And my good friend Ron, that I was telling these gentlemen from Rhode Island about, passed several years ago. He's my best friend. He used to say, it's hard to live a righteous life in an unrighteous world. And that's where we live, in an unrighteous world. And this world tells us to be unrighteous. This world tells us, just go get in your car, turn your radio on to the commercial channel. Turn your TV on to the commercial TV. And what do you hear? You need this. You need that. You got to have it. You can't keep up with the Joneses without it. You got to have, the best hair, the best clothes, the best car. You got to have it. You can't be happy without it. That's what it tells you, right? Boy, it's hard. It ain't easy. Nobody said this shit was easy. It's simple, but it ain't easy. So our actor, he's self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. He's like the retired businessman who lolls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. The minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century. Politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave. The outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him. And the alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Whatever our protestations, that's one of my favorite words, protestations. Like that word. I like protesting, I'm a big protester. Protest against not getting things my way. Why can't they just do right? What the hell's wrong with them people? Get out of my way, don't you? I'm on my way over here tonight. And I'm blowing the horn. I'm a real serene guy. Get out of my way. I got to go somewhere. Don't you know who I am? I'm ready for Freddy. Just get in my way. I'll show you how serene I am. I'm really well. All it does is remind me how bad I need this, that I need help on a daily basis, okay? I am not cured by no means. Are not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity? Yeah. And then the first time that I read this, selfishness and self-centeredness, we think, is the root of all our troubles. Man, the book went across the room. I said, that's a bunch of crap. I never wanted to believe that. I never wanted to believe that the problem was me. The problem had to be something besides me. This is what I started out talking about. I got to take responsibility for my alcoholism. I have to. If I don't take responsibility for my alcoholism, nobody else can. I don't get anybody sober. Nobody got me sober. I'm sober by the mercy of God. And I stay sober by the grace of God on a daily basis. No sponsor will get you sober. He can't work the program for you. You come to me and say, will you sponsor me? I go, yeah, here, do this, that, and that. And then you want to call me on the phone and bitch and moan about how nothing's going your way. And I go, well, did you do this, this, and that? No, I didn't have time for that. I wonder what the problem is. That was what we think the root of all our troubles is. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation. But we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcohol is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We muster it kills us. God makes that possible. Nobody else.
what the book says. God makes that possible. By now, I've already learned what God has made possible, haven't I? I've learned that what God has made possible because I asked him the obsession to drink and use was taken from me. God made that possible, didn't he? I guess I'm convinced. I guess I'm willing now. Willing to let God make this possible too. There often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. I have to not play God. I am not God in everybody's life. I'm not God in my own life. My own life's unmanageable. I can't be God. I had to give up being God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. I work for God now. I got a job here that they pay me for. Believe me that I don't believe that the only reason that they've put up with me all these years is because God figured out a way for that to happen. So I could keep getting paid so I could do my job here. Because this is who I work for. Tells me right here. He's the father, we are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch which we passed through to freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the bondage of self. Because that's what I come here in. I come here in the bondage of self. So wrapped up in self, I can't get out of self. Self can't help self to get out of self. And I want freedom. Keystone in the arch. I'm a construction guy. The keystone's what holds both sides together. You jerk the keystone out, the whole damn thing falls down. You want to know what this way of life is all about? The secret is there is no secret. There's no secret to Alcoholics Anonymous. The secret is there is no secret. It's all about letting go and letting God. This whole way of life is to teach you how to let go and let God. To turn your life and your will over to the care of God. These steps that come after that are to teach you how to do that. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of this life for me is living a life of letting go and letting God have it. You see, I'm in the action business. I'm not in the outcome business. God's in the outcome business. I've given the outcome of my life to him because I can't handle it. And I know I can't handle it. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things. We had a new employer. God. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Reborn into this way of life. Out of the old way of life. Out with the old. In with the new. And the prayer, you know, of turning your life and your will over to the care of God. Your third step prayer. Like the book says, it's optional.
What I'm going to close with tonight, a lot of people that know me know I'm a big fan of Father John Doe's, you know. And this is Father John Doe's third step prayer. We're going to say it and close this meeting. What are we waiting for? All we need is absolute confidence, like the confidence of a small child, remember? No ifs, no ands, no buts, nothing. Let everything go and let God. Come on, let's try it. My God, I believe so firmly that thou watchest over all who hope in thee, and that we can want for nothing when we fully rely on thee in all things, that I am resolved no longer to have any anxieties and to cast all my cares upon thee. In peace and in the self-same I shall sleep and I shall rest, for thou, O Lord, hast singly settled me in hope. I may lose all my material things. Sickness may take from me my strength to do your work. I may even lose thy grace by sin. But thy trust shall never leave me, and I shall preserve it to the last moment of my life. And no power shall wrest that from me. In peace and in the self-same I shall sleep and I shall rest. Let others seek peace and happiness in their money and in their talents. Let them trust in the purity of their life, the severity of their sacrifices, the number of their works, the many they have sponsored, the calls they have made, the talks they have given, the number of whom they have helped, yes, the length of their sobriety, or the fervor and number of their prayers. As for me, O God, in my confidence itself lies all of my hopes and my trust. For thou, O Lord, singularly hast settled me in hope, and I know beyond any doubt that my confidence can never be in vain. No one has ever hoped in the Lord and been confounded. I know, alas, I know but too well that I am weak and changeable and helpless, that my life, all of it, has been unmanageable. I know the power of temptation against the strongest virtue. I have seen the strong fall and the pillars totter. But these things alarm me not. For it is precisely because I am so absolutely powerless that I become so strong in you, and this trust in you shall endure because thou thyself will sustain it in me. Finally, I know that my confidence in thee cannot exceed thy bounty. Therefore, I shall always expect from thy goodness alone, because of no merit of mine, strength in every struggle, grace in every temptation, victory in spite of my weakness, and peace of soul in every disturbance. Dear God, our Father, my will and my life I consecrate entirely to thee this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, dear Father, as I am thine own, keep me and guard me as thy property and possession and always in all things. God is my sufficiency. For now our good, our peace, our serenity is to count on God for everything. Let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing. God never change. Patience, acceptance attaineth to all things whom God possess. And nothing is wanting. Alone God suffices. Our job, the footwork. It's easy now. It is just acceptance, and acceptance plus faith is all that God has ever asked anyone for. Do you believe that I can do this unto you? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So again, let go, let God. It will be done unto thee according to thy faith in God. As we understood him, it works. It really does. Thanks for letting me share tonight.
Let's thank Tom again. And now I'm going to bring up Michael for the secretary's report.
Oh, yeah. Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. And I've asked Steve to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Steve, recovered alcoholic.
Steve.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we'd be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. Page 23 of the big book. We are now saying where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship. From the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I please see a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Awesome. And is there anybody who needs a sponsor? Okay, so at the end of the meeting, please come up here and we will get you connected to someone who will get you connected to God. So let's get him back to God. And this is the last... Hi, Siri. this... So this is the last meeting of January here on Thursday night. So is anybody celebrating a year or more? Please raise your hand. In the month of January. Please stand up and introduce yourselves, please.
My name is Alex. I have a year the 18th of last month.
We also have a home group member. His name is Fred. He's not here tonight. He's out of town, and he celebrated 2 years. So let's give him a round of applause. So please join us Monday nights, the Big Book Study meeting. We meet up on the third floor. You take the steps over there. Come. You know, it's we're learning what this book is all about and what getting connected to God. Fellowship starts at 6:30. The Big Book Study starts at 7:15. And we have large print big books and big book dictionaries for sale. And we also have limited edition Alcoholics and God coffee mugs. So if you'd like one, we have them in the back. See a home group member. Home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 8:15. And we ask that you be courteous. Well, actually, now it's 7:15, so I apologize for that. And we ask that you be courteous and ready at the beginning at the sound of the bells, and see you all next week.
We have tonight's session and all the past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone again to our Monday night Big Book Study. And those who wish to thank the speaker, please just line up down the center aisle. And we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
See you all Monday night.
Yeah.
you need restoration. Yeah. And I am ready for you to take me higher, yeah. The only thing that I can do is keep on praying. Cause on my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try. But with you, I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees, but still back on my feet again. Load is heavy, too much accumulation. Since that I have amount to nothing at all. And I am willing to hand over every one of them. Cause they won't profit me anything in the end. On my own, I just can't. But when you
trying. You bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling.